Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Well, good morning, everyone, whether you are online or with us in the building. Great to have you join us. Alan, thank you so much for leading us in worship. Would you join me in expressing our appreciation this morning? Thank you for leading us in the presence of God and turning our hearts toward Him. And we are so glad that you are with us, and we hope that you are really know the goodness of God and that He loves you and is for you. And I want to say, particularly our online audience, thanks for coming back after we had some technical problems last week. Thank you for hanging in there. Last week's service was posted online. If you haven't tuned into that and want to see last week's service and listen particularly to the message from Jonathan Clark. And thanks to our technical team who worked diligently so that we could be strong and good to go today. Much appreciate their hard work. Would again you just bow in prayer with me. Father, thank you for bringing us together today, whether in our homes or some other location or here in our building. Thank you that we are gathered together as a worshiping community. And your Spirit binds us together in ways that we cannot fully comprehend, but we celebrate that reality that we are one in Christ, that we are one body together, that we are your people. And even as Richview, we are this local body together in worship. Father, we pray that you would guide us and help us this morning and teach us more and more about what it means to be your people, to follow after you. Guide us as we think about real life faith and even this today. May my own words, meditations be acceptable in your sight, O God, we pray. Speak to us today through your word. Amen. Amen. Well, let me suggest that probably the best known battle in the Old Testament is not between two armies, but actually between two people. And that is the well-known battle between an intimidating giant named Goliath and a young shepherd boy, likely just a teenager at the time, named David, who would one day be king of Israel. The story of David and Goliath is one of those biblical narratives that has actually permeated its way into our culture in some interesting ways. People who maybe never attend church or read the scriptures likely know something about the story of David and Goliath, because the name Goliath has become like a symbol of any powerful enemy or threat. Some of you may be aware that there is an Amazon TV series called Goliath. I've not watched it, and from the reviews, I'm doubtful that I could commend it, but it does get its name, loosely, from this biblical story, because the villain in this story is a big, powerful law firm, and it also portrays this underdog lawyer as the main character. A couple years ago, the reality series Survivor called their season David and Goliath, Underdogs versus Champs. And dare I mention that Canada has sometimes felt like we live awfully close to a Goliath. When a stronger party is taking advantage of or threatening or intimidating a weaker party, whether it's big business or big government or a big bully, they get commonly referred to as a Goliath. May I suggest that a Goliath can be any overwhelming challenge? It can be a situation where it looks like the odds are stacked against us and we can't see beyond the difficulty. We are all going to have, from time to time, maybe even more frequently, Goliaths in our lives. I have and will, you have and will. In fact, maybe you're facing one right now. So often in our lives, there are work or school issues, relational issues, personal issues. They're not going to disappear. They seem unconquerable. We all face big problems from time to time in our lives. We have to face giants. And although maybe I'm giving away a little bit too much of the front end, the real issue, I suggest, isn't the giant, isn't the problem, isn't the challenge. The great enemy that we struggle with is our fear, is our fear. And the biblical David has much to teach us about real life faith facing giants. The biblical narrative is found in 1 Samuel 17. And the biblical narrative draws out this story at some length, giving us a pretty significant amount of detail. We don't just have a couple verses that simply point out that David defeated a giant, won a great victory. The writer takes time to tell this encounter. This was an important story to share. It was important not only to reveal the courage and faith of young David, who God, through Samuel, had already chosen, anointed to be king, but it is a story for us to reflect on and reflect on what it means to live out courageous faith, real faith. And I would love to take the time to read all 58 verses of this chapter. I'm going to be a bit selective, although we will look at a fair bit of this wonderful narrative. The opening verses, if you have your Bible or it's going to be on screen, follow along with me. The opening verses establish the setting. And basically, the Israelites, their arch enemy, the Philistines, are occupying two hills with a significant valley in between. It's called the Valley of Elah. It's about a kilometer and a half wide. It's a well-known valley about 20 kilometers west of Bethlehem. Well, we're picking up the narrative in verse 3 of chapter 17, where we read, "The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. And a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits in a span." That's the Hebrew word there. Actually, about 9 feet 9 inches, we think. "He had a bronze helmet on his head, wore a coat of scale armor or bronze weighing 5,000 shekels, or about 125 pounds. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, that's 15 pounds. And his shield bearer went ahead of him." Now, take this in. Goliath was over 9 feet tall. Today, the tallest man living, according to the Guinness World Book of Records, is 8 foot 3 inches tall. Yes, a man does have that height, and there is a picture of him on screen. He's from Turkey, and he's gotten all kinds of notoriety as the tallest living man in the world today. But not only was Goliath, the biblical person, incredibly tall but strong, he was a warrior. And the weight of his armor alone would bring most of us to our knees. The writer goes into great detail about the armor, so we get a picture of this immense visual intimidation. To the person who would look at Goliath, he would look impenetrable, invincible. Verse 8 continues the narrative. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So Goliath puts out a challenge in which to settle the battle. Now, whether this was a common way to resolve disputes at the time is not clear. Some believe that it actually was. But it's clear that Saul, as king, was prepared to accept the terms of this battle. And one of the things we see in this narrative now is the contrast between King Saul's increasing weak leadership and diminishing faith, which sets the stage for young David. Saul, King Saul, by this time had already revealed some significant character flaws. And instead of fulfilling the true role of a godly king, was actually just more concerned about holding on to his position as king, holding on to power. Politics hasn't changed much, has it? But Saul was vulnerable to attack. He had lost his focus. He was not fully surrendered to God. And I think there's a principle here to reflect on. You see, what is going on in the inside is always more important than what's going on in the outside. Tests will come. Of this we can be sure. And Saul wasn't ready for the test. He was not ready for battle. Are you ready for battle? To face your Goliath? Where's your focus? How is your faith? Are you deeply rooted in Christ, trusting him? Verse 16 continues. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. A 40-day standoff. Goliath was not going away. He would not back and down. And fear was increasing day by day as this went on and on. Morale was decreasing day by day in the army camp of Saul. No end in sight. Day after day after day. You see, fear and its companion anxiety kind of wears us out, doesn't it? A lot of us know that. This anxiety, fear, sucks the life out of us and robs us of joy and robs us of peace. And if you let fear rule, it will. In the midst of this standoff, young David arrives on the scene. David's father was Jesse, and Jesse's three oldest sons were in Saul's army. We pick it up in verse 17. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah, about 22 liters of roasted grain, and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are, and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines." So David goes on his errand. And part of the point is that David, you see, wasn't yet old enough to yet be in the army. He's just a young shepherd boy. Verse 21 continues. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. But when the Israelites saw this man, they all ran from him in great fear. See, the intimidation was cresting. Fear was taking over. Maybe you've been there, running scared, or frozen, panic, anxiety. See, a sobering truth that the scriptures teach is that our spiritual enemy wants us to live in fear. to focus on the giant, to cower, to sweat, to be overcome with worry. I know it all too well. Fear is a powerfully, phenomenally powerful emotion. Now, it's important to recognize that there is healthy fear and unhealthy fear. Fear is an emotion that God has given us when operating appropriately does protect us. It is that fight or flight mechanism that can get us out of situations of danger or enable us to maybe even have superhuman strength to protect ourselves. Healthy fear keeps us from doing stupid things like jumping off buildings without a parachute. You see, fear itself is not bad or wrong, but fear is not to rule our lives. It's not to be in charge. And if we allow it to, fear can become such a dominant force in our lives that it becomes the factor in all our decisions and relationships. And when that happens, our souls shrink and our lives become shadows of what they're meant to be. I think that when we're very young, we tend to have no fear, or at least less fear, which is foolish. As we get older, we experience more of the pain and the risks and consequences of our choices, and hopefully we become wiser. But at the same time, sometimes fear can also creep in as an enemy and keep us from entering into life and experiencing new things and stepping out and following God's direction, and we just kind of cower in fear. Much of fear in this time of COVID has been good and healthy and has protected us and encouraged us to do the right things, but we need to discern when that fear is no longer healthy and we're refusing to step out and follow God and continue to do His will. And that takes prayer and wisdom. Now look at how David engages with the situation. Verse 26. David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God?" In other words, David was incensed that an enemy was gaining the upper hand against the army of the living God. How could this be? David, by this time in life, had already experienced enough of God to know that this wasn't right. It wasn't just about his brothers or the army. The honor of the living God was at stake. Now, not all battles are worth fighting or worth trying to win, but some battles are. Some giants need to be defeated to the glory and honor of God. And David assessed that this was a battle that needed to be fought. Are you a person that tends to rush to a fight? Or are you the kind of person that avoids one at all costs? We need to know ourselves, don't we? David, though, experienced resistance. David's brother, his own family, were not going to provide any encouragement to him. Look at the text, verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? With whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." David responds, "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. Have you ever had your motives judged? I have. And that can be a more difficult attack to deal with than an obvious enemy. But you know what impresses me about David? Is how he kind of responds briefly to his brother, kind of basically says, back off. But then he simply ignores the challenge from his brother Eliab and moves on. This wasn't worth his time and energy. I love that. This battle wasn't worth fighting. And it's so easy to get sidetracked, isn't it? David gets back to the real issue, the real battle. He's not going to spend all his energy in self-defense. Maybe for some of us, this example may be the most important one for us to apply. Do you get sidetracked by personal battles? David is soon brought to King Saul. Verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And so Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Now David has, you see, been training. He's been preparing for this moment. And his faith and courage has been growing. David had already experienced God's faithfulness and provision, which had prepared him now for this moment. We need to pay attention to all the opportunities that come our way to trust God. Faith, I think, is not unlike a muscle that grows through its exercise. God continues to look for people who will radically trust him, who will live with a courageous faith, who will take a stand for righteousness and the glory of God in our generation. And let's be honest, it's increasingly difficult to do so. How we need young Davids. But as we go, as we seek to follow God, as we seek to live by faith, there is this wonderful picture of a lesson in this next section, I think for both young and old. Verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. I think this is certainly maybe the most humorous part of this story as David tries to put on Saul's armor. Saul, as we know from other texts, was also a tall man, not as tall as Goliath, but a tall man. And you get this mental picture of this young lad trying to put on this huge, ill-fitting armor. The helmet kind of falling over his eyes. The sword too big for his height. The heavy armor weighing him down so he could hardly walk. The point, I think, although it's good to learn from others' experiences, God will not ask us to be something we're not. We're not to merely imitate others and how they do it. And sometimes when we hear my way or the way we always do it or that's the way it's always been done, it's not necessarily the right way or the only way or the way for you and me. God is able to use us today as we are and accomplish his purposes through us. That's good news and freeing news. Now we come to the climax of this great story. Verses 41 to 50, let me just read it through. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down, cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. I think the key verse here is verse 47. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. David entered into this with faith and courage because he recognized and understood that this wasn't really about him, but about the glory of God. And his God was a big God. David's heart was solely to glorify God. David knew that it didn't matter the size of the enemy or the odds that were against him. If God was with him, he was in a good place. If God is in it, you've already won. The victory is already yours. Now, let me express one caution as we apply this story. We need to see and understand that faith isn't whipping ourselves into a state of self-confidence or even worse, false bravado. It is placing ourselves in the greatness of God. It is to know, as Jesus would teach centuries later, that with God, nothing is impossible, for he is the God who raises the dead. But walking by faith is more than positive thinking or mind over matter or even possibility thinking. Walking by faith, real faith, discovering, discerning, and living out day by day the will of God. The caution here is that it is not our will and just what I want, but God's will. And it can be easy to confuse the two. David had a discerning faith to see that Goliath, as big and as intimidating as he was no big deal when God was with him. When he discerned that it was God's will to save and rescue the Israelites and defeat the Philistines, he knew he was unstoppable. And so David exemplifies a courageous faith. It's the kind of faith that is celebrated all through the scriptures. But we should also note that not all battles end as cleanly or as easily as this one with the real Goliath. Even for David, as he experienced other battles in his life. Hebrews 11, which gives a great summary of the biblical heroes of faith, reminds us that some experience miracles and amazing deliverance, and some did not, as Goliath, of various kinds were encountered. But whether it is victorious and miraculous or not, God can be trusted, because even when people are suffering, maybe even martyred for their faith, the victory is ultimately to the Lord. And the great victory, the triumph of all evil, lies ahead for us all at the resurrection. That's why I believe that the key lesson in this narrative is actually to confront our fear. Trusting in the greatness of God, whatever may be our Goliath, putting our faith in His sovereign goodness and His ability to get us through and ultimately overcome whatever may be our giant. David, who is not only a king, but a poet, would pen these beautiful words later in his life, maybe even reflecting back on his encounter with Goliath. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What is your Goliath? What giant are you facing even right now? Know that God is with you, and He can make you strong and courageous and live out real faith to glorify Him. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for this wonderful narrative that some of us have heard since we were children. And we need to revisit as we continue to face giants, as we face difficulties, as we face things that seem insurmountable. Help us, Father. Help us with the challenges we are facing right now. To not cower, to not freeze, to not withdraw, but to seek you, to seek your will and your ways in the midst of those battles, in the midst of those difficulties, to cry out for your wisdom and the boldness and the courage to trust you and to act as you guide us. To love faithfully, to speak at times courageously, but gently, to continue to act in ways that reveal you and bring glory to your name, to continue to be your people in this day, and to proclaim your truth in our world. Give us courage. Give us and grant us the kind of faith of David that simply wanted the glory of God to be known to all. Father, thank you that you are speaking to us today. And as we worship you, may our hearts be filled with your Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.